comment and recommendations on how to approach the items that we have left for the rest of the afternoon and tomorrow.
I don't know if Mr. Secretary has any desires. I guess my recommendation would be to continue on down the agenda as listed. We have a fairly extensive list of proposals there. All of them are from the Division of Wildlife. John Lott and staff will cover that first five or six. Some of them will take just a few moments. A couple others will take a little bit longer, but the spring turkey, I don't believe will take long. The mountain lion hunting season recommendations and population updates, that'll be a little bit longer discussion. So I think the appropriate just to go down the list and
all right,
where we're at as we get through that, if that works for you.
No, that sounds good. We might as well move on to proposals, fish limits. Mr. Lott, you're going to have the floor for a while.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, Secretary Vogel and John Lott, Aquatic Section Chief. This afternoon, we have for you a series of recommendations for proposal related to aquatic harvest regulations, aquatic invasive species, that type of thing. Start with, if you would turn to page number 31 in your commission book. On this action sheet, we have a number of department recommendations, but three of them that relate mostly to management of catfish within the state. Now, the first recommendation is to change catfish regulations on the South Dakota Iowa border water to allow for 10 channel catfish a day, 5 on flathead, of which at most one may be 30 inches or longer, and 1 blue catfish daily. Just some background on this particular recommended change. If you remember last spring, the commission approved the addition of a stipulation that at most 1 flathead catfish 30 inches or longer could be included in the daily limit statewide, or I should say inland waters, and then also within Nebraska boundary waters. Since that time, we have been working with Iowa to see if there's a way to standardize catfish regulations on the Missouri River system with Nebraska and South Dakota, and then the Big Sioux River with South Dakota and Iowa, so we'd have the same regulations on those waters. So all the south and the eastern border waters of the state down there, that part of the state. And it appears that Iowa is going to be able to proceed with a change in their regulation that would be matching what we currently have with the state of Nebraska on border waters. So there'd be 10 catfish, 10 channel a catfish daily, 5 a flatheads, of which at most 1 to be 30 inches or longer than 1 blue catfish. So we'd be standardizing and simplifying regulations there for anglers. The 10 a channel catfish daily, that also is the daily limit inland for all catfish combined is 10. So that's a number that our anglers are familiar with. But that should add a simplification for them. So that one, I'd be happy to address any questions that the commission may have.
All right, any questions? Pretty straightforward.
On the next one, we have a standardization of ear types in the hoop net and a set line chapter. Currently, the chapter involves the use of hoop nets, traps, and set lines, and the parts of the state in which they are used. For inland waters, currently on the Missouri River system, and you're able to use hoop nets and set lines and traps on the western tributary and in Shade Hill, Belfort, and Astoria Reservoir, you're allowed to use a set line. And what this recommended change would do would be to add in the hoop nets and traps in the western South Dakota tributaries and then in Angostura, Belfouche, and Shadehill, to increase opportunity there for them to take catfish and rough fish. And it would also add in, again, for inland waters in South Dakota that have some level of use of net traps and set lines right now. It would add in a new method of take and known as a float line. And a float line is basically a float and a line and a hook and a weight. And they are used in 23 states. They are not allowable method of take in 27. And a lot like your set line, they use a bait that is basically targeted for catfish. You're not allowed to use live bait fish. Set line, you would not be able to use one on a float line. And the idea here is to add another opportunity to be tied to set line licenses, whereby you have a set line license. Instead of having a set line you're using, you'd be able to use 10 float lines. The float lines, you have to be actually observing them as they fish. And with a set line, you're able to have that be set overnight and left out anchored and not be observed as you're fishing with it. This is a question. Every year we get a number of individuals who inquire about if you're able to use a float line in the state. And this is seen as a way to increase opportunity under that set line license to give anglers another option for how they would choose to participate in angling. Again, target species here is catfish. They're underutilized in the western tributaries, those three western reservoirs, and then the Missouri River. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that the commission may have.
All right, thank you, John. Any questions from the commission on this? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to approve this proposal. Moved by Commissioner Beattie. Second by Commissioner Spring. Additional comments? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes. All right, thank you. Bait regulations.
Mr. Chair, there is one more on this. There's a list of recommendations on page 31, and that would simply be to add the term traps into the title of the chapter. So it'd be hoop nets, traps, and set line to better describe the rules that are included there.
Yeah, and I don't know about you guys, but I'm comfortable having that go with the original one we just approved. So, for additional information.
That will be down then to the bait regulations on page number 33 in your commission book. On this action sheet, we have a few changes to the bait chapter, then one to private hatcheries, and then a housekeeping one really to fishing tournaments. On bait, the first recommendation is removing the reporting requirements for retail bait dealers for monthly and annual reporting on their retail bait sales. On this one, pretty much your retail bait dealers. There we go. We've got it right that time. They pretty much report that they sell the same as they buy and are able to capture what they buy from wholesalers. So by removing the reporting requirements for retailers, we're helping reduce their regulatory burden and still be able to get that information. The next rule regarding the bait chapter is the recommendation that the size restrictions on the trap entrance sizes and mesh sizes for non-commercial bait traps be removed. Currently, there are specific dimensions, sizes of mesh, and sizes of openings in the throat on a bait trap that are in place for both commercial and non-commercial. And the The current opening on the bait trap is 1 inch, and the idea there is to have it be that small so that you're reducing the number of larger fish, particularly game fish, that may end up in a trap. The idea behind removing these for non-commercial is that there's a growing number of people out there who are taking crayfish for consumption with traps themselves. So it seems to be one of those things that is gaining in popularity, but the size of the openings in the bait traps currently does not allow them to take a size of crayfish that would be desirable to consume. There, the idea would be that if those restrictions are removed, it would not be a detrimental impact on game fish or other species that would end up in the trap. If you have a larger opening, it's easier for the fish to escape. And also, if there would be a small enough number in the majority of the bait traps, that they'd be easily removed. In association with that, we do have restrictions on the number of hours that you're able to fish a trap before it has to be checked. And those would help ensure that any fish that are in the trap that would not be harvestable could be removed. So, in summary, it would be removing those restrictions on the non-commercial traps, the ones that are used by anglers or those desiring to take things like crayfish to consume, but we still maintain those then for commercial bait feeders. You have to answer any questions on that staff recommendation. The third one there is private hatcheries is eliminating the annual inspection requirement for a fish house and for aquatic invasive species. These inspections, especially the fish house one, is a very expensive inspection where you have to have a veterinarian come and sacrifice a number of fish, send in the tissue samples to the health lab, and then have those analyzed. And the reason that we're recommending this and the AIS inspection be no longer required is that these are things that are required of all receiving states. So if our dealers are exporting fish to other states, our private hatcheries are, they have to meet already whatever the receiving state has as required. In-state, if they're only selling in-state, there's really not that concern on our part that we have those inspections. But the idea is to keep things that are coming into your border or across your border clean from a health perspective and free from AIS. By reducing or removing this requirement, it would save producers who do not export the expense associated with these and reduce the regulatory burdens of which they would have to comply. And the fourth a recommendation on the action sheet is very simply a change in the age stated in the fishing tournament definition, whereby currently it's listed as 17 years of age, below which it'd be an event would be considered a junior fishing clinic. It would change that to 18. So anything under age 18 would be considered a junior fishing clinic. But I'd be happy to answer any questions related to that department recommendation.
All right, thank you, John. Any questions from the commissioners? Yes. Mr. Whitmire.
Yes, thank you. On number four there, the changing of the age, that kind of bring us all together on our definition of youth then, and is that fitting with what we did on
Yes, Mr. Whitmire, yes, that's all part of that overall approach of streamlining and identifying and defining youth as under 18.
Yes, Mr. Beast.
Mr. Beast, when you're doing that with inspections of the fish before the transfer, have you ever found anything that would have been an issue or anything over the years that would be a problem?
With regard to private hatcheries for fish health, I don't believe we have. We have had a few instances with aquatic invasive species. And those particular aquatic invasive species were not a concern in South Dakota because of the species of fish we were talking about and the places in the state that they would be stocked. They were cold water fish like trout. And the aquatic invasive species that was associated with that would not be anything that would be able to survive in the environment with stock trout unusually. But what it does become is an issue for the producers in South Dakota to be able to ship outside of the state. And we do our best to cooperate with other states to help them meet their requirements. But it's actually becoming easier if those other states send people to inspect the facilities because then they get the information they want.
Further questions? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve the base private hatchery tour proposal. Moved by Commissioner Whitmire.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Watkins. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes.
Mr. Chairman, on page 35 is the Aquatic Invasive Species Department recommendations. And to preface these recommendations for proposal, you know, every year we do a lot of reflection on the Aquatic Invasive Species Program, and if there's anything we deal with in the aquatics portion of our department that is a moving target of aquatic invasive species. In fact, we're reaching the point in the open water season where I'm expecting to hear that we have a few new lakes that have these mussels as an example. It's a moving target. The information we have available to manage continues to change. The research that's out there for how they spread and how to treat them continue to change. And as a result of that, the recommendations we have are to help us adjust our approach to management as a state. The first recommendation there is to create an exemption. The prohibitions currently in statute on possessing and the transport of aquatic invasive species. This would be for a lakeshore property owner who has plants or zebra mussels or whatever on his lakeshore and he wants to dispose of it. Technically, the possession and transportation of those is prohibited. This exemption basically gives him that opportunity to break those up, to collect them, whatever, and dispose of them in a location that would minimize the possible introduction of those in waters. An example of that would be a clear release pond, maybe on Pickerel Lake. You get a bunch of it on your lake shore, you pick that up and you dispose of it either in the waste bin that's going to the landfill or you take it there yourself. Any questions on that exemption for lake shore property owners? The second recommendation has to do with exemptions as well. The first one is focused on lakeshore property owners and people who have their boats moored in a marina on an infested water with zebra mussels. And these are the most unlikely watercraft and also their boat lift with the boat dock to have zebra mussels attached. It's also a situation where the majority of those watercraft or boat lifts and boat docks, they're being pulled out of the water and they're going right back into that water. So the idea here is to have an exemption for removing a watercraft, a boat dock, a boat lift, things we call conveyances as a group, anything that can be moving aquatic invasive species, have an exemption for those such that when they're removed from the water, they don't need to be clean, drained, and dried, decontaminated. And then they can be put back into the water with aquatic invasive species attached. Again, it would be those boats that are being stored immediately on the lakeshore property of the owner of the boat, or they're being stored at the marina where there's a very low risk that they're going to be transferred, usually transported to other bodies of water. If those boats, conveyances, et cetera, were outside of those areas, if they're going down, let's say, Highway 12, and they're nowhere near a body of water or where they own property, then they would not have that exemption.
All right, any questions?
Part B on that one focused on one of those other things, the technicality, if you will. The state of Minnesota has a deal. Well, we have a lot of waterfowl hunters who use a vegetation as a part of their blind on their boat. They'll put a rope or other things on, they'll camouflage their boat with it. And technically, that is in violation of having a watercraft be clean, drained, and dried when you're loading and launching. So there, we're following Minnesota's example and creating an exemption where you can have that vegetation on your watercraft or a line that's in the watercraft if it has been cut above the water line. With the idea that a lot of times it's the roots or the rhizomes that are a part of the plant, but actually that would help it spread. It's typically also in a portion of the year where those plants would be dormant, that they're being used, and after they've been cut, certainly they're going to die. It's a standard in Minnesota to help them address or help their waterfowl hunters be in compliance with the Fire and Safety Species Statute rule.
Any other questions?
The last one is the most common, Flexo. So the three recommendations here, that's the reason I put it at the bottom, and it revolves on repealing the two current administrative rules that require decontamination of watercraft, either watercraft that have been in a body of water that's on the infested list for zebra mussels, and after all the plugs have been removed, all the drains have been opened, all the pumps have been run, it contains a gallon or more of water. Or a couple of it has been moored for 3 or more days in an infested water. The idea behind these are two rules, and the decontamination requirements were focused on the villagers for boats that retain water. It was believed that that water that contained the villagers that may be in it were a big risk of spreading and sleeping mussels to other waters. And then the boats that were moored for 3 days, that the juvenile mussels or the settlers that begin to settle out on the hull of a watercraft would have done so and then be able to be transported. Both the villagers and the settlers are at a size you're not able to see, therefore requiring that decontamination to be safe, that those boats aren't going to be transported in. Well, one consideration with those rules and the reason to repeal them is that as the number of large zebra mussels increases, there are not the resources out there for the public to be able to comply with those two administrative rules. There aren't the opportunities to decontaminate, especially if we increase the number of boats that would have that. In addition to that, there is some newer research information from 2018 in the state of Minnesota that shows that the majority of the villagers in the water that would be left in a boat are going to die within about 48 hours or so. 95% of the villagers in a ballast tank, as an example, are going to be dead within 48 hours, and one of the big focuses with the Fire and Safety Species Regulation and the management approach is reducing risk. And if over 95% of those villagers are going to be dead within 48 hours, that helps us be more comfortable with the idea of removing a regulation that boaters aren't able to comply with for decontamination, with the understanding now that the chance of the bellagers that may be in that water are going to be alive when that boat is a next launch. It's going to be very low. With the settlers also, some research there, identification of those on the hull of a boat is pretty quick when the boat is outside in summer temperatures, going down the road with the wind and other things like that. So the two big factors there are not being able to have the public be able to reasonably comply, and then new information that there's a reduced risk of interruption in those situations as well. So, Mr. Chairman, those are the aquatic invasive species recommendations for the commission for consideration today.
Okay. Any questions? All right, I've entertained a motion to approve the proposal. Looks like Mr. Reeves. Thanks, Mr. Whitmer. Any questions? Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Sorry.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes.
Mr. Chairman, on page 37, we have a department a recommendation, really a proposal action sheet. A commission proposal action sheet that's based on a petition that was received by the commission. I believe that at the May commission meeting that was discussed, it is regarding a petition to allow the use of blowguns as a legal method of take the fish. Instead of acting on the proposal, the petition at that time, I thought it'd be easiest just to build it in with the other aquatic focused recommendation for commission proposal. And I'm going to phone a friend on this one to start with, and our staff attorney, John Katilman. Here when we say allow use of blowguns as a legal method of take, technically when you begin with state statute, hook and line are the approved methods to take the fish. And then the commission over time has promulgated rules for spearing, for the hoop nets, for the set lines, etc. And I guess my question for John Katilman is, how specific? The petition was not very specific. How do we move forward with approving it, if that makes sense, to addressing the petition when it's not that specific?
Mr. Chair, and John Katilman, staff attorney. To Mr. Law's question, so the action taken by the commission regarding the petition was either approved or denied, that's your only two options in the state statute. Once they get to the proposal phase of it, we as a department can flush out a little bit more detail and be more specific, kind of, again, working with that petitioner to better understand exactly what he's trying to achieve while meeting our objectives of making sure that our rules are clear enough. So, to Mr. Watt's point, yes, we can modify this proposal or change it to meet what we need to have in our rules to make sure that the general public has understanding of what the rule requires.
Thank you, Mr. Katilman, for that explanation. And with that, a few options here. With blowguns, these blowguns they're actually using, I had no idea what they were, and then I saw a YouTube video on it that was shared. It's actually almost like a fishing rod, and they're using the hollow rod as the blowgun. And there is a line of catch onto a small dart, and they shoot this at all sides of the fish. We talked about if this was more like spearing, maybe, or archery than other methods of take. And one option would certainly be to build this into the methods of take in the spirit and archery chapter, where the waters that would be currently open to taking of game fish with a legal spear, a spear gun, a bow and arrow, or a crossbow, we could add in a blowgun there. Or it could certainly be considered outside of that with regards to the much broader view of administrative rule. One other consideration is the commission did propose expanding hearings of game fish to all waters with the stipulations that were in that petition. And I, those are the ideas that I've thought of. I'm not sure what more to offer from a staff perspective on that for a consideration for a commission proposal.
All right. Questions?
I guess I don't see what the problem would be just wanting to use the blowdowns for fish. Yeah. Right now, I can't see all the challenges we're going to run into with somebody doing that. So, I'm okay with doing it. So, I would enter, to move this along, I would entertain a motion to that effect.
So moved.
Thank you, Commissioner Lockett. Is there a second? Mr. Whitmire.
Mr. Chairman, a question.
Yeah, question.
Did you want to tie this then to the Therian chapter or to add it along with a little hook in line for everything that sounds there as the case?
As an additional method?
Mr. Beast.
Mr. Beast, I would consider it the same as a spear gun or a regular spear, what would be the difference that would be regulated from any other species? I think it would be tied to that or regulation. It would be kind of thing.
That would apply as an example of the hours that you're able to use it from half an hour before sunrise to half an hour after. It would also then be related to waters that are open to spearing the game fish, except it would be do whatever the restrictions are within that chapter.
Mr. Larkin.
Yeah, Commissioner Larkin here. Are there any, maybe I'm missing the point on something here, maybe it's a dumb question, but are there any other license requirements for like a set line or anything?
To the chair, for a set line and a hoop net / trap, there are separate requirements for a license. Everything else with the spearing and the archery, those type of things, unless there's a specific permit, as with paddlefish, it's all under your standard fishing license.
So if we added it just to the regular taking of fish, there would be no hours associated with it?
There'd be no hours, and it would be on all waters, I believe.
I guess depending on the after dark aspect, I would imagine there could be potential safety issues blowing the dark after dark on a public body of water. I think it would be better to keep it more like steering and anything that's legal steering. I mean, it's just another steer. It's very small and a different propellant. So,
Attorney,
Mr. Chair, maybe I can give you a punt on this one. And you can adopt a proposal with both issues in there, or both ideas. Again, if you want to float it to the public, and that's kind of the idea with the proposal, just let the public weigh in. Maybe there's a hint that we're not fleshing out right here. So, again, having those two ideas of either treating blow fishing like spear fishing or having blow fishing like regular fishing. You can keep both of those in your proposal. You don't have to decide necessarily today.
I like that idea. Is that all right with the commission?
We'll move it forward based on, the proposal we just got the motion on, we'll move it forward like that if it is a fact. So,
Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Chair votes aye. Motion passes. Mayor.
Yes, we did. We concluded the recommendations for different aquatic things.